I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, listeners have had a lot to say to us over the past couple of weeks about the political conventions, about Tuesday's Mocha Moms. We'll share your comments and letters in just a few minutes. But first, our weekly Faith Matters conversation. Sarah Palin has been scrutinized for her conservative views, her family dynamics, her peep-toe pumps. But like Barack Obama, her faith is also a matter of interest. She hasn't spoken much about it since becoming John McCain's running mate. To find out more about Palin's religious roots, we invited the Reverend Cheryl Sanders, who teaches Christian ethics at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and the Reverend Herschel York. He's been a frequent guest on our program, and he teaches Christian preaching at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Welcome to you both. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Well, thank you.
I mentioned that this is the day we address listener questions. Actually, our idea for this segment came from a listener question. Lisa Nelson Haynes from Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, was responding to our coverage of the Republican convention, and this is the question she wanted to ask. Here it is.
Can someone please provide me with a definition of an evangelical Christian, and why are they all white? Is the term evangelical Christian simply code for white Christian ultra-conservative?
And we thought we should answer that question. So, Reverend York, what is the definition of an evangelical Christian?
Well, an evangelical Christian is defined by belief and certainly not by skin color. Evangelicalism is basically an orthodox view of Christianity, which would include belief in the, for instance, the bodily resurrection of Jesus and orthodox matters of faith, but then also a belief in the necessity of a personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's certainly not all ultra-conservative, and it's not all white.
Reverend Sanders, your thoughts?
I would just add to the definition that's already been given that the root of the word is evangel, which means good news. And so evangelicals are people who adhere to the good news of Jesus Christ and promote that and believe that in preaching the good news, there's the possibility of personal and social transformation.
It's been reported that Sarah Palin was raised Pentecostal and she was brought up in the charismatic Wasilla Assembly of God. So Reverend Sanders, what do those terms mean? What do Pentecostal and charismatic mean?
First of all, Pentecostalism is a subset of evangelicalism. So all Pentecostals are evangelicals, but all evangelicals are not Pentecostal. Now, Pentecostal and charismatic, there are more sociological differences than theological differences between the two. But basically, those are people who adhere to a strong doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the practices and the gifts of the Spirit. And what sets the Pentecostals apart is a belief and practice in speaking in tongues.
Do you have any, Reverend York, thoughts about, I'm curious if you're reacting to the fact that we're asking these questions. I mean, do you think
these are relevant
and fair questions? Yeah.
Well, I understand there's a curiosity, but frankly, I'm a little bit disturbed when I see Greta Van Susteren and others going and interviewing Sarah Palin's pastor and former pastor about theological matters. You know, I heard Matt Damon's rant against Sarah Palin based on the fact that she might be a young earth creationist, as though that would just automatically disqualify her from any type of public service and certainly being president. You know, and it frankly does seem one-sided
to
me.
Let me ask, though, because if part of the belief is that God intervenes in matters of the world and is a guide to one's daily living, if one is interested in how one would govern, isn't it a sort of a total experience that one would assume that one's beliefs should guide one's behavior? Do you see what I'm saying? Where's the line?
Yes, I do, but no one's sticking a mic in Joe Biden's priest face asking these questions. And Catholics would believe that God intervenes in daily life. But no one's asking him about any particular points of Catholic theology. You know, like, do you really believe that the host literally turns into the body of Christ, as though the belief in that would disqualify him from being president or vice president? It seems to me that there is an inherent bias against conservative and evangelicalism, in especially from the media and Hollywood types, I would say.
Okay. Reverend Sanders, what are your thoughts?
With all due respect, I think it's very clear that a few months ago, a precedent was set for making pastors' statements and sermons and theological views an issue in this campaign. The whole serious controversy over the Reverend Jeremiah Wright and his the videos of his sermons and That whole issue, as far as I'm concerned, set the precedent for making this. I don't understand how this is biased, because I think the bias, if there's any bias, that precedent was set several months ago.
I'm wondering, though, Reverend York, if part of it has to do with newness, someone not being familiar and wanting to know. For example, Mitt Romney, who was his father ran for president briefly, who is Mormon, who is a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and was asked questions, or Joe Lieberman when he was on the ticket. I mean, Judaism is certainly well known and well understood, but many people ask him whether his faith commitments would influence his governance. Is this really that different?
I think it is, in the sense that it's proper to ask a candidate how his beliefs influence his actions. It's a different thing, sort of going and interviewing, church members and asking people who aren't accustomed to being in front of a microphone and in front of the media to suddenly be there through no decision that they made. And even in the Jeremiah Wright controversy, I would argue that Barack Obama should not be judged by the statements of his pastor. And I thought that then, and I think that today, even regarding Sarah Palin, that you have to let each candidate speak for himself or herself. And it seems to me, to start looking at theological strangeness, and as you say, newness, and making judgments about one's fitness to serve based on theological positions is a little bit out of bounds.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and I'm speaking with the Reverend Cheryl Sanders of Third Street Church of God in Washington, D.C., and Pastor Herschel York of the Buck Run Baptist Church in Frankfort, Kentucky. We'd like to know what you think. How much do you want to know about a candidate's religious beliefs? To tell us more about what you think, go to our blog at npr.org/tellmemore. You can also call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That number again is 202-842-3522. Well, let's talk about the candidate. This past June, Palin returned to her church, the Wasilla Assembly of God. She was speaking to a group of church members. During her talk, she committed herself to working toward the construction of a $30 billion project to build a natural gas pipeline in Alaska. Here's a clip of her talk.
And pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that.
Okay, Reverend York, tell me, how do you interpret this sort of theologically? Do you see what I'm saying? For people from different
Sure.
backgrounds would wonder, why would God be interested in that? Doesn't he have other things to do?
Well, Christians always seek the will of God, and different Christians see different degrees of God's involvement in our decisions and actions. But typically, conservative Christians see God as sovereign. We're not deist, we're theist. We believe that God is involved in the workings of our lives, and for a public servant to pray and ask God's guidance is not new. Read Lincoln's second inaugural. This is what Christian public servants do. They seek the will of God and try and govern based on sound principles and what they believe is in the best interest of those that they govern.
Reverend Sanders?
But praying for reconciliation of a nation that was divided by war and praying for a pipeline is two different things. And I think that even though prayer is a good thing, I think it would be helpful for us to perhaps move away from religion and look more toward ethics, because I don't know that Sarah Palin's religion is really the issue here. As a voter, as a citizen who's concerned about the direction of this country, I want my decision to be based on the ethics of the person and not so much the particular tenets of their theological background.
How would you address this, Reverend Sanders? Because ethics and religion for some are linked, for others they are not. For some, there are no ethics without faith. Ethics are rooted in faith. What is an appropriate question in evaluating something like this? How do you interpret what she's saying? And do you think it's okay to ask what she's saying?
It's always okay to ask. I think that we struggle in this country with the issue of the separation of church and state. We struggle with the separation of religion and politics. But I think what we're seeing is that sometimes religion gets used in the service of politics. It's not so much the faith position of the person as what are the implications of that faith for how they treat other people.
Reverend York, what do you think?
Well, I certainly agree with that. You cannot help but live out your faith. What you really believe is going to come into play in how you treat people and what your values are and how you govern. The American people are going to have to be comfortable with, I think what Reverend Sanders is saying, is the ethical aspects of that faith without being too concerned about particular theological positions underneath it.
But if you hold to certain theological precepts which guide your decision-making, do we not have a right to ask about that? Or do you think that's fundamentally private and what we should judge is the quality of your decisions and your past decisions?
Well, I certainly think that's true. But, for instance, whether or not Joe Biden believes in transubstantiation, that the host literally becomes the body of Christ, is not going to affect his governing. And that would be an example to me of something that is really off limits. But now his view of the value of humanity, the value of life that emanates from his faith would be a proper area to pursue.
Reverend Sanders, what's the one question you would like to ask these candidates?
One question that I would ask the candidates would have to do with vision and issues. What is your vision for America, and why should I vote for you? How does your vision include hopefulness and good news for my constituency, for my family, for my children? The same question I had an opportunity some years ago to ask President Bush. Can you put yourself in my shoes now that you're the president and see if the life opportunities of my children are equal to the life opportunities of yours? Those are the kinds of questions that I want to hear addressed.
Reverend York, what's one question you would ask these candidates?
Well, I would like to ask almost exactly what Reverend Sanders said. What is your vision for America? What do you see us being and doing? What are we capable of? What kind of leadership can we exert in the world that is humble and, as she so beautifully put, you know, not self-righteous? I couldn't agree more. You know, that's the beauty of Lincoln's second inaugural. There is such a humility to it that does not say, gee, God was on our side and we won. He saw the possibility that God had judged America through the Civil War, but it was, you know, we need to have humility and do the right thing as we proceed. And I would really love to hear that kind of a tone from all of these who are running for office instead of some of the silly stuff we've seen about lipstick on a pig and what that means.
And let us add civility. I think we need to recover civility in this debate.
Yes, ma'am. Reverend Cheryl Sanders is a pastor at Third Street Church of God in Washington, D.C. Reverend Herschel York leads the Buck Run Baptist Church in Frankfort, Kentucky. I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, too.